Blog Talk Radio.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you are the one I held on to. And I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it.
For the Lord on our side. God is good all of the time, and all of the time God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to Woman to Woman. And today's broadcast is going to be a very special broadcast, one that's near and dear to my heart. I mean, this is a huge part of my ministry, and I just thank God for life today. Amen. I thank God that I'm still in my right mind. I thank God that no matter what the opposition was, that I made it. Amen. And I can confess and stand with Pastor Marvin Sapp and say that I never would have made it if it had not been for the Lord carrying me through my mess, carrying me through that test, carrying me through the trial, carry me through the tribulation, carry me through the plan of the enemy to wipe me out. Do you know that Satan wanted to wipe me out? And I know you can testify today that Satan wanted to wipe you out, but the devil is defeated in the name of Jesus, because you're still here. We're still here. Hallelujah. We're still standing. We're still victorious. We're still pressing. We're still moving forward, doing everything that the Lord has called us to do. So I like to say the devil should have killed me when he had a chance, amen, because I'm bad to the bone in Jesus, amen. And I said in Jesus, because without him, I am nothing. Without him, I can do nothing, amen. So I just thank God for this opportunity to come today to share, and I know it's going to be a two-hour broadcast. I know I have it up for 90 minutes, but the Lord spoke to me in my preparation and said it's going to be 2 hours, because we're going to take time at the end to pray, amen. We will be taking calls. It is an open discussion. I want to just let you know that I'm highlighting a very special guest on today, Misty Block. She is an awesome woman of God. She does Sisters with Voices here on Block Talk Radio, where she talks about molestation and abuse. Amen. And Missy also does a segment here on Wednesdays, How to Be a Godly Wife. So she has an awesome ministry to women. She was with me on last week, and the Lord met us mightily. The Lord met us mightily right here on Block Talk Radio last week. I thank God for all of the callers who are already calling in. God bless you. I see you there. I want you to know that the chat room is open now. It was not open at first because I was still preparing to come. Amen. So the chat room is open for those. I had a little struggle getting on Block Talk Radio this morning. That's why I know that the Lord is going to move. I anticipate the Lord moving today. Amen. So we're going to open in prayer. Amen. And then I'm going to bring on my guest. I thank God for all who are here. Tell somebody, listen, if you know a sister or a brother who is all messed up, yoked up because of something that happened to them so long ago or even recently, you know, we look at molestation as something that happened when we were a kid, but then you have rape, then you have sexual assault. You have all kinds of things going on in the life of a woman. You have abuse where somebody wants to take the liberty to go up beside your head, and the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar because God didn't make me into no punching bag, you know. So we're going to be talking about the impact of molestation and abuse. We're going to be talking about some of the ways that we can avoid it and some of the ways that we can move on from the impact of molestation and abuse. Amen. And I want you to get on the phone, call your mother, call your sister, your auntie, your daughters, amen. Anybody that you know that is struggling in life, because look, if the truth were to be told, a lot of us don't tell, you know, when we have been touched, when we have been raped, when we have been mishandled, when our husbands decide that they want to be violent, or our boyfriends decide that they want to push us around and punch on us. It's a secret. There is a secret shame associated with that, and a lot of people just don't tell. But there are outward signs, and we're going to talk about that later. So those outward signs normally exhibit themselves in somebody living a messed up, yoked up life. Just keep getting into the relationship with the wrong people. Keep going down the wrong path. If you know somebody like that, Christian or not, I'm not just here for Christian women. I just have to say it. I want women from all walks of life to come and be a part of this forum. This is for women. Wherever you are, it is my hope that you would be saved, that you would come to know Jesus as I do. But primarily, I'm reaching out for women. I know Misty does the same thing. So if you know somebody, just tell them to tune in. They can call in to listen at 646-652-4832, or they can go to the website, blocktalkradio.com/power. Amen. This is my heart. Hear my heart. We're taking off the gloves. We're not going to be playing during this broadcast. Amen. So call somebody, tell somebody to come and get on the line. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on today. Oh, Lord, we come to touch the hem of your garment, oh, God, to ask that you release the healing balm of Gilead over this broadcast on today, Lord. Bring the women and the men, Lord, that need to come on today, Father God, those who have questions in their minds, those who are watching the news, oh, God, those, Father God, who are feeling confused and disoriented and disillusioned with the church, oh, God, those, Father God, who are looking towards heaven for help, oh, God, bring them to this broadcast on today, God, and let them, Father God, get the answers that they need. Give Misty and myself the words that we need to say, Father God, to edify those who will come, Father God. Father God, purify our hearts and let the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouth be acceptable unto you, Father God. Heal somebody, loose somebody, save somebody today, oh God. Father God, free somebody from captivity on today, oh God. Oh Lord, we know that you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to bring us to an expected end, oh God. So, Lord, we give this broadcast to you and say, have your way. Have your way. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and praise God. Hallelujah. And the switchboard is lit up. I thank God for those of you who are calling in. Misty, is that you? You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, Pat. Pastor Rebecca, and it's an honor and a privilege that you invited me here on today, so I give God glory.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And I just want to, again, introduce you, Misty. Misty Block is a woman of God. I did not, I've had a busy week, and yesterday I was sick. I literally was not feeling well in my body, so I did not go to Misty's pages and get her bio or anything like that. But I can tell you one thing about Misty, and that she is a woman of God, called of God to minister to women across the globe. Amen. She has an international, worldwide ministry right here on Blog Talk Radio. She's ministering to women in the area of abuse, molestation, relationships, marriage. I mean, she is, the Lord is just taking her mess, amen, and turn it into a message for other women, because, you know, if you haven't been there, you can't really, there's a different anointing. I can't say you can't minister, because you can, because we can do all things through Christ, but there's a different anointing when you have walked where Misty and I have walked, and Misty has walked this walk, and now she's talking the talk, and not only is she talking the talk, but she's living the life, amen, the Zoe life, amen, that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and got up again for her to live. So I introduce to you all Misty Block, who is the, she is the host of Sisters with Voices, amen, which speaks out against molestation and violence against women, and she is also the host of Being a Godly Wife. I introduce to you Misty. Welcome, Misty, to the broadcast, everybody. I don't have applause, but I'll use my own hallelujah. Just say hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen, Pastor Rebecca. I mean, I thank God for you, woman of God. You have been such instrumental in my life, and I know that God placed you there for this season, and I thank God that he put you there, because you have been a godly example to mimic how to walk the walk and talk the talk. So, again, I thank God for you, and I thank God that he placed you in my life, and I'm just so excited about this show and what God is going to do after, like you say, after the conferences. So I'm truly honoring you on today. I have an organization called Sisters with Voices Incorporated, and my ministry is online. It's always been. I deal with, like Pastor Rebecca says, with domestic violence, rape, molestation, sexual abuse, low self-esteem, anything that's in the heart of a woman, that's my assignment. I'm as you, Pastor Rebecca. I don't look at your religion and where you are, and where I look at God's purpose for your life. And if I can win you over through your heart, if I can win you over through God's love, then your soul may just be saved, and you may be transitioned to knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
So I just believe God would have us be examples and not throw on throw ourselves on them to transition to find Jesus. How about I teach you that God, what had God has done in my life, and then you watch me live this life and walk walk out of bondage into this marvelous peace and this joy and this contentment, this happiness of joy that I have, you will begin to say, I want that Jesus, because you can't come through what I've come through and still have this joy without him. You can't do it. You know, Pastor Rebecca, we cannot walk out of what we've come out of and have the joy of the Lord as we do and be able to walk in life and still forgive our offenders, still let go of the hurt, still walk in forgiveness, walk in love, and still be able to call the person that actually did it and have a conversation and say, I love you in spite of what you did to me. Only God's grace and mercy can do that.
My God, only his grace and his mercy. And to be able to still have joy. And I said this last night, I had to make an appearance. I had to make an appearance. Not that I'm any one great, greatest he that is in me, the he that is in the world, but I had to support someone last night. I had given my word, even though I wasn't feeling that well. And I just went in there briefly. But what I said to the church when they wanted me to make a comment is that our God does not fail. God does not fail. Man fails, but God does not fail. God is faithful. He is faithful to keep his word. He's faithful to follow through on that word. And Jesus saves to the utmost. Whatever it is that's going on with you, so many people, there are a lot of people on the switchboard, a lot of people in the chat room. I want to say welcome to everybody. But there are so many people that have been through some things in life. And we've gotten to the point, some of us are healed, and I thank God that I'm healed. Missy, you're healed. God healed us. It took us a long time, and we're going to talk about that. It took us a long time to get healed. But some people are still struggling with this impact of molestation and abuse. And the thing about it is I just want you to be encouraged on today, because God did not bring you here by chance, and let you know that God heals and Jesus saves, and he could bring you out of dismay. He could bring you out of discouragement. He could bring you out of hopelessness. Amen. And he could bring you into this joy that Misty and I are talking about. Misty, I just got to hit the big pink elephant in the room. There's a lot going on in the news today. I mean, there's a lot going on in the news. My God, and it's just really devastating to the body, because I told my husband, I said, it's bigger than the fact that somebody fell, because the Bible says that a righteous man can fall seven times, amen, but he does get back up again. It just goes beyond that, because it now goes into what we're talking about today. I'm not saying that there's, I'm not alluding to truth or somebody's lying. Okay, so there's somebody, with what's going on in the news, we know that somebody's lying. Amen.
Right.
But the thing about it is, either way, we're talking about Christians. Okay, so we're talking about Christians who have somehow, on one side or the other, have lost their way. Somebody has lost their way. And here we have what looks like the outcome of somebody who really hasn't gotten into the presence of the Lord and allowed God to heal them from all of that old stuff. You know, this is evident on either side, like I said, whichever side is in the error here. This is evident of somebody who's not truly given their life to the Lord, because Jesus saves to the utmost, and our God does not fail. Man fails, but God does not fail. But even deeper than that, if there is truth on the side of molestation, then that's just what it is. It's molestation, it's sexual assault, it's abuse of a minor, not a minor, but a child, because in certain states you're not a minor, you're of consenting age in a certain state. But I want to just say that anytime somebody influences you and you are a minor, you are a child, you're under the age of 18, even 21 for me sometimes, if they have that kind of influence and they influence you, then you are being sexually molested. If they influence you in a way that, if you trust somebody, like for me, you know, I was molested at the age of, and Misty, I want you to just share your story too, but I was molested, oh my God, I think I was maybe 8, 9, 10, I can't remember. I was young, because God blocked certain things out, but I know I was molested at an early age. And the person that molested me, I trusted them. I trusted him. You know, I trusted him, and when he touched me, I you know, as a young child, I didn't know what was going on, you know. And from the age of 10 until 33, my God, I went out there looking for love in all the wrong places. I ended up pregnant at 14. Had an abortion. Ended up pregnant again at 15. Had the baby, became a teenage mother, dropped out of high school where I was an A student, started getting high, started smoking reefer, by the time I was 18, I started doing cocaine. I was introduced to cocaine and drinking Coke 45, quarts of Coke 45 and Old English, you know, hanging out in bars. Then I became the party girl, and I partied from the age of 18 until 33 when I met my husband in the bar, and he introduced me to Jesus Christ. But what I'm saying is all of that time, I thank God because I could be dead. I probably should be dead today. I should have a record for going out to the corner buying drugs, illegal drugs. I should not be in my right mind from all the brain cells that probably were impacted by the drugs that I did to try to medicate the pain, I'm talking about the impact of molestation. It's amazing, Misty, because you and I were on last week, and we were talking about molestation and doing something in this area. And We did not know that everything was going to happen in the news. God makes no mistakes.
Yeah.
We did not know everything was going to happen in the news that happened in the news. I'm not casting guilt or blame either way. But what I'm saying is molestation is still a very real issue.
Right.
And it still needs to be dealt with. Missy, I'm going to give you the floor and just let you say what you need to say. And then about 15 minutes, we're going to take some calls. About 10 minutes, we'll take some calls because I see the switchboard is lit up.
Pastor Rebecca, God began to reveal with me. This was last year when we had all the divorce in the Christian life of great leaders. God began to reveal to me, you know, it was so much exposure last year between divorce or infidelity, adultery in last year. And God began to reveal to me that the very ones that failed, rather they were on the receiving or the giving side, are the very ones that God is using in this season. So what the devil meant for evil, God makes for the good. I believe that what we see on the news today is God allowing it to happen so that we can bring attention to the situation. There is not enough talk about it in the church. When you deal with domestic violence, rape, molestation, or sexual abuse, the church is not equipped to deal with that situation, and they really don't even give the children or the parents the tools that are needed to get help. So I believe that what we are seeing in the news today is God saying it. We need attention in this area. My children are suffering, and no one is helping, and they're crying out for help. And who's going to reach out to my children? Because, again, even on both sides, whoever's right, whoever's wrong, there's a mental illness for the one that's doing it. And I've learned in the pattern of molestation, sexual abuse, and domestic violence on the male side is it's a silent cry. That's their silent cry for help. Yeah, they're wrong. Yeah, what they're doing is not right. But I can guarantee you 90% of the cases that of the abusers, they've been abused. So what they're doing is mimicking what someone else did to them. And I'm not in no means making it right. But we have to understand. The other part that God really placed on my heart 3 years ago is, you know, we take time and we get the woman healed and we do all those and we reach out to the children, but no one's taking on the male. They let them go by the wayside, and no man is raising up and said, I'm an abuser. No male will come out and say, I molested a child. No, they're trapped in their closet. They're secretly suffering and dying spiritually. And so if we as a people don't begin to deal with the male, then we're going to continue to have the spirit of molestation, sexual abuse, or domestic violence. But if we begin to tackle the male and begin to cleanse his mind, and it's not only male accusers, but what we're dealing with is women today. I look at it on both sides because they're both God's children. All of us are God's children, and God said,
yes,
which said no man shall perish. And so there's a silent cry. Rather, it's that child that's whoever's right, like you said, it's not our place to judge, but somebody's sick. And
yeah,
the only way they're going to get help is if we pray and really pray in this area, because we already know the power of prayer is awesome. God says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. As your story, Pastor Rebecca, my story is similar. I was sexually abused by my stepbrother for years. I mean, probably from the we moved in with my stepparent, my stepfather. I probably was at the age of 10. So from the age of 10 to the day that I left, which was 14, I was sexually abused off and on through him. And again, he did not penetrate me, but what he did was abuse.
My God.
Well, at the age of 14, my stepfather had never given a sign that he would ever harm me or cause me harm. He loved my family. He really took care of us. But one, my mother, again, she and my father, they had issues of alcoholism, and he had issues of alcoholism and marijuana. My mother was a bartender, and this particular night she went off to work. And he would normally go to the bar with her. You know, again, she was suffering from domestic violence as well. So it was a lot of chaos in the home, I would say.
Yes.
And this particular night, my mother did not come home, but my stepfather did, and I was alone that night. And he molested me. And like you said, when I say God removed so much of the memory of it, when God will cleanse you and wash you and you really get yourself together, God will take away the very memory of the scenes.
Yeah.
It only happened one time. Well, in that day, somehow he had to go to the restroom. I had enough time to call my mother. My mother came, and my stepbrother came, and everybody was screaming, like, what's going on? At that very moment, my stepfather took a gun and put it to my head. I should be dead today.
My God.
I tell you, I know it is God's grace, because I cannot remember why he did not pull the trigger, because I saw him click it.
My God.
And for whatever reason, he did not take my life, because the devil wanted me gone. And from there, we left the house. From that moment, my mother dealt with cancer, and she went to get treatment from that month on. So I was left for dead pretty much, because no one dealt with my issue. No one tried to give me help. Yeah, they took me to the police station. Yeah, they checked me out and all this, but there was nothing else. There was no precursor. Let me heal my daughter. My mother went straight into dealing with her health. And so I was left with my cousin, who, again, no one dealt with the issues of my situation. So
yes,
from that, I went looking for love in all the wrong places, been married 3 times. I mean, looking for that thing. And finally, like you said, I was age 30. I said, you know what, I got to get off this roller coaster, because I'm not getting anywhere. I was clubbing, partying, probably 5 days a week. And I did not have a drinking problem or alcoholism or a drug addiction. I know God kept my mind. And
yes,
you know how you know God kept you and you don't know he kept you? God's hand was on my life the whole time, and I just remember saying, God, if you just do something. I don't know what it is. I don't want to feel like this anymore. I'm tired of the roller coaster. I'm tired of choosing the wrong people. By then, I've had 3 children by 3 different daddies. You know, I began to mimic my mother's life.
Yeah.
The very thing I said I would not do and what I would not be, I was that. That generational curse kept on my life. And I had no idea. I wasn't raised in a church, but my mother did lead me to Christ. So I kept looking for love in all the world. But when I got off that roller coaster at the age of 30, I still had residue. You know, we still get off, but we still have that residue of our past, and, you know, battling in our mind, our body, our soul, and the spirit. So I still struggled, but yet I was getting my life right. I was going to church. I was going to every women's ministry and singles ministry, staying focused and going to Bible study. I kept eating that word every day, eating that word. And by the age of 33, God planted in me my purpose. I accepted my call to minister the gospel. And from there, all hell broke loose. When I said, okay, I thought my life was supposed to be better. I thought that when you say, I accept my call, I surrender, that, you know, you go into this la-la world and everything is beautiful and glamour. You know, that's the way we make it look like, and, you know, in the church. We make it look like life is well and you don't have no problems and no struggles and you ain't got to deal with your past and your issues. That God called you, and that's it, you know, and that's what God gave me, to understand the process to purpose, my God, because in everything that we went through, Pastor Rebecca, it all came for the purpose God created for our lives, and what the devil meant for evil, God was going to make that thing for the good, but we don't understand that we have to walk out the process of purpose, my God, because in that, you know, comes an interruption of your life. It comes a purging and a cleansing of your mind, body, soul, and spirit. It comes you got to be put on the potter's wheel, and those things that are not like God have to fall off. You have to be then put in the fire. Oh, my God. And so everything that could go wrong in my life went even worse. My God. My God, everything that I thought my life was going to turn better because I said finally accepted my call to minister the gospel, that everything that was bad in my life was about to be good. Well, I tell you, Pastor Rebecca, it wasn't until October of last year that I finally come to realize that come out, got off the fire because I finally began to apply the word of God to my life. I'm 38 today. I'm 38 today, and I'm telling you, I'm now going through my third divorce. But in that today, I finally realized that love starts within. That very void that was in my heart was God. That emptiness was my relationship with him. And so many times we, you know, I've seen people minister broken. You know, you're broken and you're ministering the gospel. I'm talking to somebody here today. You're ministering the gospel, but yet you're broken because you have never yet took the time to heal. And so you continue, you cannot be effective in ministry if you don't take a time out to heal your mind, cleanse your soul, body, soul, and spirit. You cannot minister effectively with unforgiveness in your heart. You cannot minister the gospel and you have still bitterness and anger about the offender and the accuser. You cannot fulfill the perfect purpose of God in your broken. My God, I'm going to stop right there, Pastor Rebecca.
My God.
Because I feel that in my spirit that, you know, there's so many women broken trying to fulfill the perfect plan of God, and yet they cannot do it because they haven't let go of the residue of their life, of their past, and that being transformed by the renewing of their mind. And, you know, we know the word of God. We minister the word of God. We teach the word of God, but yet we don't apply it to our own lives. And because of that, you don't see the fulfillment, the abundance of life. Are you going empty? Empty, you're giving and you're giving and you're giving, but yet you're still empty and you're doing, you know, you're giving all the tools to every woman, but yet you're broken. That's not God's perfect will. And I speak to you, woman of God, I declare your healing on today of your mind, body, soul, and spirit in the name of Jesus.
That
you will take a time out. See, sometimes you got to do a time out, Pastor Rebecca. God put me on a time out in June. In June, I went on a timeout because when I was going through the process of this divorce, although I still have to go back and apply what he taught me about forgiveness, and, you know, you got to walk that thing out all over again. But in this time, when I took the timeout, I did a cleansing. When I went through this cleansing, you know, I cleansed before. I went through a fast and I cleansed, but this time I went through a four-step cleansing. the cleansing of my mind, my body, my soul, and my spirit, because we only really deal with soul ties. But you got to understand that you got to have a cleansing of your mind, because your mind is what holds your past, and the devil, that's where he plays. So you got to begin to cleanse your mind. How do you cleanse your mind? To renew it daily. You know, we're supposed to renew our mind daily, but yet we're only renewing it here and there. But we have to begin to cleanse our mind through a daily cleansing. You know, I had to fight every day. I should live and not die. I had to fight every day. I'm no longer who I used to be. I had to fight that every day until I finally believed in myself. See, if you're suffering with low self-esteem, you're not going to believe you deserve the fullness of God's plan for your life. If you're still struggling with who you are and identity there, that's a whole other story. I'm going to stop right there, Pastor.
You're speaking. Go ahead and touch on that low self-esteem, because a lot of us are dealing, you know, for years, you know, you just spoke so many things. One thing that you spoke about, I just want to welcome everybody to the chat room and also on the phone lines. Just hang on. If you're holding on the phone lines, hold on, because I want to talk to you. We want to talk to you, Misty and I. We're going to open up the phone lines. This is an open discussion. I realize, and I'm going to take about an hour to do that, or however long. I'm not going to even say time, because I was supposed to open the phone lines at 10 minutes ago, but what we realize is that a lot of you have something on your heart and you want to speak about it. And this is the forum that God is opening up for you to speak. So hang on the phone lines. Missy and I, we hear Missy speaking. She's speaking, and I just pray that you heard what she said about ministering broken. You know, a lot of us, we do. We hobble along. And we do what God called us to do, and we're still broken. But that is not God's will for us. God does not want us to be broken. Jesus came so that we would have life, Zoe, overflowing life, the abundant life, and life more abundantly, life to the fullest, nothing broken, nothing missing. God wants us nothing sick. You know, God does not want us like the woman with the issue of blood. He indeed wants us to, like the woman with the issue of blood, to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, to really have an encounter with Jesus Christ so that we can be healed. There is something that happens when you have a real encounter with the Lord. When you really, really come out of yourself and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of disgusted with being broke, busted, and disgusted. You know, life has to be better. I've come to the end of my own rope. I need more. I know that there is more out there. I'm tired of failed relationships, tired of looking for love in all the wrong places, tired of drinking myself silly, tired of putting drugs in my body, tired of having sex with all the wrong men or women, because a lot of women who have been molested do turn to other women. And, you know, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm tired of going and following after the wrong men, being in the wrong relationships, going to the wrong church. See, a lot of us will even sit up in a broken a church under a pastor who cannot help us because he has not, or she has not, allowed God to help them, you know. And we have to be whole. Listen, Missy, when you talk about being broken and ministering, the Lord showed me that thing, because I didn't have a title or anything, but I was giving everybody else advice, but I was all messed up myself. I was giving women advice on the job as a new Christian, stayed for 7 years and coming home trying to get my husband to fight me. Come on, somebody. You know, but that's the point where my husband turned around and looked at me. He said, I don't know what kind of Negroes you've been messing with out there. He said, but I'm not putting my hands on you, because I saw my father abuse my mother. I had been in fights with every man that I was in relationship with, because I thought that was love. And what you do is you begin to accept certain things because you think that that's learned behavior. It's learned behavior, and you think that that's the way it's supposed to be. But when we get into God's word and we become transformed by the renewing of our minds and the washing of the word, when we become clean, our mind becomes washed by that word. All the filthiness that we have in our minds becomes washed by the word. Then we can have the scales come off of our eyes and begin to really see the light. You know, we can see the truth. But what it is, it's not okay for somebody to touch you and that person is not your husband, or that person might be your mother, your father, or your pastor. No, it's not okay for that person to fondle you, for your cousin or your aunt or your sister to put their hands on your private parts and fondle your private parts. It's not okay for somebody to put their hands on you and touch you and then want to make you keep their dirty little secret. It's not okay, and it's not your fault. If you're a child and somebody puts their hands on you, it's not your fault. And Misty, I believe that's what ties into low self-esteem, is that we internalize this stuff, and we begin to think that it's my fault. Maybe I was too fast. Maybe I was too fresh, or maybe I was too loving. Maybe because I kissed and hugged Daddy, it made him think that it was okay that I wanted him to touch me in my private parts. No, the devil is a liar. That is a sick person who puts their hand on a child. Now, a child could be anywhere from a baby up until, for me, 18, 19, 20 years old, because in your mind, certain things have not formed in your mind. And if you're under the influence of someone who has power and authority in your life, then you are gullible to the spirit of molestation. So that's why we need to talk. Listen, dealing with the impact of molestation means realizing that it's not your fault, realizing that you are somebody in God. You're wonderfully and fearfully made, created in the image of God, worthy of honor and respect. You were touched, you were fondled, you were raped, you were sexually assaulted. It was not your fault. You went out and you did drugs, you had abortions, you slept with the wrong men, you slept with some women. That stuff you have to take accountability for, because these are actions that you have done, and even you have limited accountability because you're going as a result of what happened to you. But when you come into the fullness of truth that says that stuff is wrong, when you know in your heart that some of the behavior that you're exhibiting is wrong, then it is your obligation, it is your responsibility to stop it and turn, to repent, to turn away from that behavior and allow yourself to be healed. And I mean, me personally, I feel like the only way I could be healed, and a lot of women and men are going to be healed, is to run into the arms of Jesus, because Jesus saves, salvation, saving from the impact of sin, from the pleasure of sin, from the penalties of sin, and from the power of sin. You know, you could be saved. I mean, you should, with Jesus, it's salvation, total salvation. God does not want you crippled. And a lot of us, I was crippled for 7 years in the church, crippled. There was a woman crippled in the synagogue, crippled, 13 years in the synagogue, crippled, bent over, an evil spirit. That's a spirit. Molestation is an evil spirit that gets upon women, girls, and boys, and tries to take away your purpose. Missy, you talk about purpose. Try to strip you, steal, kill, and destroy. The devil comes. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the devil has stolen from you too long. And we come to set you free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We come to propel you into purpose, to help you to get healed, to deliver and set free from the impact of this demon that has attacked you and attached itself to your life. You don't have to live like that. God has a better plan for you. He does. I promise you, God has a better plan for you. He did it for me. He did it for Missy. He did it for so many who are going to come and speak today. And God wants to do the same thing for you. Our heart breaks. My heart breaks when I... Missy.
Yeah.
How do we... Listen, you told... You know, I never really told. I started telling as a form of ministry. I got it out. I'm telling it everywhere I go. I'm telling it on the radio. I'm telling it in the pulpit. I'm telling it when I preach at women's conferences. I'm telling it in my books. So we told. But what about people who tell? And like you said, there's a threat to their life. This man had a gun to your head. Or what about people who tell and they're told that they're lying, that they're lying and they're not believed, and they're made to look like the bad guys? I mean, how do we help these people who are scared? And what about the people who are displaced, scared to tell? I'm scared. How do I tell without suffering the penalties of just telling what happened to me?
Well, Pastor Rebecca, I stand on the word where it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And there come some situations that they're not able to speak out upon what took place in their life because of the threat of their life. I've ministered to women. And when I tell you, God draws women from all over, from UK, all over the place, with their situations. And there was one particular woman. She's in her 50s, and I'm still really, really working with her. But when I tell you, healing is a process. Healing doesn't take place overnight because you have to look at how long you've been broken. Well, this particular woman, she's 50-something years old, was molested by her uncle. And like you said, they all told, not only did he molest her, but the cousins, his own daughters. And no one believed him. He was a deacon in the church. No one believed this story, and he even threatened their life. And here today, she still walks in fear. She can't sleep if her husband's not at home. You know, and let's talk about broken being married. Let's talk about being broken and married, and you trying to make the husband at fault for the accuser of what he's done. And so that man can't love you to the fullness of what he's trying to love you to, because you still hold him accountable for what someone else did to you. That's a whole nother story. But she's married and unhappy, miserable within herself, because she still walks in fear. She's in bondage and low self-esteem. And the only way you can release that, because Pastor Rebecca, again, that the spirit of bitterness keeps you bound. When you walk in unforgiveness, he's housed in your heart. And when you have the roots of bitterness and envy and strife, it covers up God. You can't breathe. You're not giving God room to breathe in your heart. And so what begins to happen is that the spirit of bitterness overtakes you and overpowers your life and your marriage, your family, your children. You can't love your children the right way. You can't. And so those type of women who are in a place where they're have a fear of their life, they have to know that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You have to give that situation over to God because it is not worth risking your life. Don't give the devil hold or room because you feel the need to share, because there will come a time when you will be able to share your story. See, some people can't share their story right away because they haven't fully walked out their deliverance, or that person, it has not changed. But I do know that if you continue to pray for the person, the accuser, that God will change that heart, because my stepfather today has given up alcohol, given up drugs. He is clean today. I can have a conversation. We talk. He apologized, and he didn't have to explain himself, because I know we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against darkness and principalities. Pastor Rebecca, something within me would not allow me to stay in unforgiveness. God will not allow me to be walk in a place of hurt. He will not allow me to suffer in a place of pain when I begin to really seek him. You know, when I begin to get a relationship with the Father, everything that had me shackled and bound had to loose me, because I now understood his love. See, his love is unconditional. And when you begin to look over your life and you know, because a lot of people, and another thing, Pastor Rebecca, that happens is when you go through those type of situations, if you're bitter, with God because you feel like you allow God to allow this person to hurt you, but God gave man dominion over the earth. And so he did not let him hurt you, but because he gave man dominion over the earth, you got to understand the generational curses. You got to understand the bloodline, and you got to understand all that. So God still, his love for you is unconditional. He loves each of us that way. And so you got to know that in spite of what you went through, that process of purpose is in you. So what you can do is take what the devil meant for evil and make it for God's good. How can God get the glory out of your life? How can you begin to reach out and change your life? Because there are too many children still suffering today. There's some women that's going to die every minute on the hour because of domestic violence. There's a child that's going to be abused and molested and raped every 15 minutes. So there's so much going on. And you know, if we don't voice what we're doing, Pastor Rebecca, many will perish. They won't fulfill their purpose. My mother did not fulfilled her purpose in life. No one can tell me she did. I know there was so much greatness in her, and she died before her time. Because why? because she did not understand purpose. No one taught her how to let go of unforgiveness. No one taught her to love herself, because when you're dealing with domestic violence, you don't love yourself. There's some low self-esteem because you don't understand who you are, that identity theft. If the devil can keep your identity and keep your purpose, that's the whole purpose of him killing you before you get there, so that you won't have a voice to speak out for God, my God.
That's the whole purpose of him coming at you. That is so true, so that you won't have a voice. The devil wants to strip you of your voice, and that's how he – I mean, imagine that. I can't tell, so now I've become this shy, withdrawn little girl, and I can't – or little boy, and I can't tell anybody about what happened to me. That's the shame, the guilt, the degradation, the condemnation that does not belong to a child. You know, you should not be – no child should have to carry that, no woman. And then women, we grow up and we allow men to mistreat us because of something that happened to us in the past, because we already have low self-esteem. We're already looking for love in all the wrong places, and we allow ourselves to be mistreated. And not even abuse. You know, abuse is you be in a relationship with a man who refuses to commit to you, and he's taking advantage of your vulnerability and having more than one woman and letting you know that he has more than one woman. And you got to just say, no, I will not allow myself to be in a relationship with someone who does not honor me enough to be in a committed relationship with me. I'm not going to be his fool anymore. I'm not going to be that call that he needs to satisfy his loins, amen. Or some people will call it a booty call, or you know, when people call and they want you to be on the down low. You know, you have to refuse to be that for him, because God didn't create you for that. You're not someone's sperm bag, you know. And a lot of women say, well, I'm getting something out of it too. But the thing about it is, if you are a woman of God, you have to know that God has more in store for you. But we have to also understand that with molestation and sexual abuse, we get to the point where we believe that sex is okay outside of marriage, because that's what they wanted. And when we give the people sex, men, it makes men happy. I mean, let's just say it like that. And it makes us feel loved and wanted. But we have to find our validation. We have to find that feeling, sense of feeling loved and wanted in God. We have to find it in God, because that's truly where we will be able to find out our identity. Mister, you talked about identity theft. We will truly be able to find out what our identity is when we tap into the power of the power of the love of God, when we know how deep and how high and how wide and how long and how great and how much, how unconditional his love is for us. Then we can truly walk in power, because we can walk with our heads held high and say, you know what, my Father loves me. My Father who is in heaven loves me. And not only is he in heaven, but he's in me and he's with me. And his spirit rests upon me to give me the power to live out my purpose. And my purpose is great. So I am somebody. And I can hold my head up knowing that I am somebody. And it's a powerful thing when you tap into this, the power of the love of God. So
yeah.
I'll tell you, Missy, God is speaking. You want to take some calls?
Yeah, we can take some calls.
Amen, because we've had quite a few people holding, and we just want to take some calls and just talk to some of our audience members. Listen, if you're holding on and you're put on the air and you don't want to speak, you can say, God bless you, I choose not to speak, I'm just listening. Because I know that some people are calling to listen. But I do pray that if God has something on your heart, that you will be free. This is a forum, I mean, where you are free. God bless you, yeah. JV Wright. Welcome to the chat room. This is a forum where you are free.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You are free
yeah.
to speak. And Gazelle, I want you to call in. Just give your comment, too, on emotional abuse. But you are free to speak. We are here, Misty and I. It's a funny, because God said last week we were going to do something on the air about emotional abuse, and here we are. we didn't get a chance to schedule it, but, you know, with everything that's been going on in the news, and, you know, listen, my prayers go out to Bishop Eddie Long and those four
yeah.
men.
Yeah.
young men, all 23 and under. My prayers go out to them. And the wife of Bishop Eddie Long and his children and the church members. My God, over 25,000 people. Our prayers go out to them. I can't really speak on it either way. What I can speak about is the impact of molestation. What I can speak about is that if any of these boys, young men, were molested, I thank God that they're speaking out because it's an opportunity for everybody to get help. It is not true. Again, I thank God that it's coming to the forefront because there's something wrong that something like this would have to come out at such a time as this. And God wants us, God is reminding me, I thank God for it because God reminds me that I still have work to do. Misty, are you reminded that you still have an assignment in this earth?
My God. I mean, my heart, it says I have to do more. I have to do more. What else more can I do? You know, we're so caught up in being stretched thin, but the time and the hour of season is near that we don't know the day or the hour that Jesus shall return. And so my heart says, okay, I have to continue to speak out because really, truly, I've just been openly within my mouth speaking out about my situation the last 2 years. And so I know there's healing in my testimony because people need to see a living testimony, you know, a living that you actually walk that out and you live in like this and you have peace and you have joy. A living testimony. And so I just pray that whichever way it goes, whoever's right, whoever's wrong, that they will be a living testimony as to God's goodness and his grace and mercy, and that lives will be transformed and that the church will rise up to these situations that are hidden agendas that they don't want to talk about. We have conference after conference. There's no tools to give the people that they need to overcome this. They're not going to openly come out and say, you know what, I was molested or I was raped, because you already feel like your identity was taken from you. Something, you know, is taken from you. And I think about Pastor Rebecca, the story of Tamar, and then I'll let you open up the line, but I feel this on my heart because I didn't even know in Scripture that there was a story of molestation. But there's the story of Tamar and how her half-brother Amnon molested her and how his friend gave a plot on how he could do it and how she felt like her life was gone, her life was dead. She had no more purpose because back then, if you were not a virgin, then you did not you didn't even qualify for a husband or a family. And the things that she had to do to get a family, you know, and all that she went through, she was broken and wounded for years. And so, and then the things that come behind the consequence of the other person, because he was killed by her brother because of what takes place. So it's just it's a tragedy in the family. It ruins lives, and it causes a disconnect and a discord in the bloodline, but that's the trick of the enemy. If he can keep your family disconnected, I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but you have disconnected from your loved ones because of what was done. I want you to understand that God's love is unconditional, and you be the bigger person, be the greater example. Don't put yourself in danger. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about your loved ones that you cut off because they didn't understand you. Begin to pray and ask God to help you to understand them and that they will have understanding, because we have to restore not even ourselves, but we have to restore our bloodline and our families. And you know, everybody wants to come and separate one another, and I can speak and testify to this because I talk to my stepbrother, I talk to my stepfather. I love them unconditionally in spite of what has taken place, because maybe they're going to be saved and delivered through my lifestyle. Maybe. You know, that's my prayer. Maybe. I don't know that they're saved. That's not a discussion I can have with them, but I pray. That's my prayer. That no one would perish. And so we have to walk in God's love. I don't care what they did. I don't care what they said. I don't care how bad the offense was. Know that love covers a multitude of sins. And when you really have the love of God in your heart, God will not allow you to not love the person that hurt you. Now, I'm not saying you got to go back and make amends with that person because that's foolishness. But in my particular situation, God allowed it to be that way. All of my family still calls, and it's no confusion because we refuse to allow the devil to win in our lives. And when you do that, you will see God move on your behalf and everything flows together. Because, see, if you can walk in unforgiveness, he said he cannot hear your prayer. Oh, mm-hmm. That's a whole other story. Go ahead. It sure is.
And then you said a lot. You said a lot there. But one thing that you did say was that when Lust had completed what Lust wanted to do with the Tamar's brother after he raped her, after he claimed he loved her and had to have her, and she begged him not to do what he was doing. He had his way with her. He raped her, and then he threw her out of the house. He threw her out. And when she got out there, she ripped her robes. She had the robes of a virgin, her ornamented robes, and she put on sackcloth and ashes. And because she knew, she felt that her life was over. And so many times that's what we do. We take off our beauty and we put on shame and we put on sackcloth and ashes and mourning. And we go through life acting like we have no value anymore and that we will never be worthy or valuable to anyone. But I thank God that he gives us a new identity in him and that he gives us value. My God, he gives us value. God gives us value. So I just thank God, because I wrote about that in my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart. I, too, did not realize it was there, but it's so much there in the Bible, and that word will heal you. Even her story helped me to know I was not alone. Well, we have a hand raised, so I'm going to just go ahead and take some calls. If you want to speak, you can raise your hand. I'll probably put you on the air either way, but if you want to speak right away, I see a hand raised, been raised for quite a few minutes. And then I'm also going to take Gazelle. But first we're going to take this hand that's raised. Area code 111, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Area code 111, actually I don't see your number. I know that's not your area code, but you have your hand raised. Okay, so that person has the hand raised. I'll just leave you live just in case you stepped away. Actually, I'll come back to you. Area code 912, you're on the air. Area code 912, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Good afternoon, Pastor Rebecca. How are you?
Oh, God bless you, Gazelle. I'm well. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm more determined to move forward with my purpose. Amen. And a lot in my spirit about some of the things that I'm seeing and hearing, and just very prayerful about the outcome.
Well, I had a friend of mine on Facebook. It was the first place I mentioned this, and she mentioned, and the first thing she said was, before you cast judgment, the first thing you need to do is pray for that family.
Yes,
that if it's true, that family is going through a valley. She says, if it's not true, they're still going through a valley.
My God.
You can't judge one way or the other. I tell people all the time, I say, it's very easy to say, okay, well, so-and-so said, and, you know, this is the proof they have. God knows.
God knows.
And if a person is guilty, then God has said, whatever's done in the dark is going to come to the light.
Yeah.
They're innocent, and if this is all a lie, that will come to the light as well. It's just a matter of waiting and seeing. People are quick to pass judgment. They, you know, they want to say, oh, well, you know, that this person said it, so that makes it so. You don't know. None of us were there. We can only go by what people are attesting to. And, again, we don't even know how trustworthy they are. Because I've come from an experience where I was molested, I understand the first instinct is to think, well, you know, if that person said it, you know, it's probably true. The timing of it all, again, you have to ask yourself why. The more I see about it, the more I think to myself, oh, Lord, we got a problem here. And molestation is a problem in the church because no one talks about it. I can tell you for years, I never told a soul. And I never told a soul because it was understood in my mind, no one would understand what was going on. there were people that were going to be affected who were innocent, who truly didn't have any reason to suspect what was going on. So I had to consider others when I did this. And, again, this was someone I trusted. And a lot of women think, well, you know, if it's a trusted person, you know, this is someone I can trust. Once someone you trust betrays you, you spend the rest of your life wondering when the next person that you trust is going to do the exact same thing. That's a very difficult place to be. It's a hard place to start relationships. It's a hard place to grow from. It's a hard place to learn from because your expectation level is deceit. I'm looking for this person. They're going to lie. I'm just waiting for when they're going to open their mouth and tell me the first lie. That's not a good place to start from. So I can attest to the fact that, again, divorced, can't keep a relationship together when you don't trust them from the beginning.
That's good.
It's a rough time before that distrust unravels anything you might be trying to grow. So you pretty much commit yourself from the beginning because you haven't healed, but you're trying to start something new. That doesn't work. Young lady, Misty was talking about distancing yourself from your family. I did it. Not because I didn't want to have a family, but because I knew if I allowed family to be involved, the secret wasn't going to stay a secret. It was going to come out, and then I was going to have to deal with it, and I wasn't ready under no circumstances. I tell people a lot of times, the truth comes out, and people aren't ready to deal with it.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
more than if it never came out. But
yeah.
God has healing you, and in your due season, he says, all right, now I've healed you, and I'm going to give you something to do with this story because it wasn't, you know, just for your benefit. This story is so that when it happens to someone else, you can say, I've been where you are. You will survive. There will be better. Life will get better, believe me, because I'm an example of what happens when you trust and believe.
My God.
I'm a stronger person now than I was because I survived. And there is nothing like getting through a fire and getting on the other end and realizing God brought me through this. I didn't do this by myself. And his purpose said, I have a reason for keeping you here. I'm not going to let you go yet. It ain't your time to go. I've got someone else you've got to tell your story to before I let you go.
Yes.
And when you understand that purpose and it's like, okay, so this is more than just about me. And some people think that's all it is. It's just about them. When you take the focus off of you and put the focus on, all right, Lord, what's this for? What am I missing here? What lesson am I supposed to be learning? What have I not seen or heard that you're trying to tell me? And when you learn to put that first, then everything has a purpose, okay? My molestation taught me one thing, that it was possible to endure something that I would consider horrendous and to keep because you loved someone, you knew it was going to hurt. You knew it was going to devastate them to find this out. My secret was kept for not for my sake, for the sake of the mother of the molester. I loved this more than life. She was good to me. And I couldn't be the bearer of bad tidings. How do you tell a mother who loves her child that her son is a monster?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know,
that's a hard place.
That is a really hard place. And how old were you?
I was 12 going on 13.
Okay.
And
because
it took me years to discover, and 10 or 15 years after that, not only was I not the only victim, that he went through just about every female member of the...
See, that's what I was getting ready to say.
That's someone who has a spirit of perversion.
Yes.
That's not even a choice. You have turned yourself over to the devil to be used
for
his...
My God. My God. And Gazelle, that's a powerful testimony, because that's what I was getting ready to say, is that when we don't tell, when no one tells, then this spirit is allowed to perpetrate the lives of so many other young girls and so many other young boys, that somebody has to stand up and say enough. You know, it just has to get to the point where you stand up and say enough. And that's where the power of the devil comes in, because he knows that when we love people, we don't want to hurt people. So we don't tell. You know, it's like, I don't want to hurt my mother. I don't want to hurt his mother. I don't want to hurt his wife, or I don't want to hurt the church. So I don't say anything.
Exactly.
But is that, but how can that be good? Because now this same spirit is operating through this person, and so many other people are getting hurt. I mean, it's just a really tough place.
Exactly. And that's where I tell people, okay, now you have these young boys who have stood up and said, okay, this happened. It's embarrassing, not just for them, but for their families. And it devastates not just the person. That entire church is going to be rocked.
Yeah.
I mean, thousands of people, not just in the church, but people outside of the church, people who are looking and thinking, okay, maybe I should become a Christian. And then you see this. I mean, you have to think about all the people who will be led astray behind it all. Guilty or not, it still makes people question, you know, if this is what really salvation, is this really what Christianity is all about? So, you know, the ramifications of it all, and the devil is positively gleeful.
Yeah.
Because in his mind, he's found a way to perpetrate and keep more people from coming to God. And that is his one and only purpose in it all. I could have chosen to blame God for what happened to me, but it became clear to me that over the years, and as I learned more and as I understood more, that, you know, I was as much a victim as this person was. Where did you get this from? How did you learn this? Where did this come into your life? Okay? How did you think this was okay? When did you decide it was all right to violate someone? Mm-hmm. And you have to start with the source. I mean, and the church will feel sorry for the victim, but the perpetrators are left to fend for themselves, and they continue to go from person to person to person until God steps in.
Until God steps in.
And completely change their lives. So here we have an opportunity where, and again, some people harden their heart and never change. Never change, because they like that sin, and they've allowed the devil to whisper in their ears that it's worth it. And he will speak to them in hell for the rest of their life because they made this choice. You have to understand that, you know, there are consequences. And while my perpetrator may not have went to jail, he still got to stand in front of the same God.
Yeah.
He's not going to want to hear why he felt the need to go there.
Yeah, and God will be the ultimate judge. Gazelle, thank you so much for calling. Now, I do have quite a few callers holding. Stay with us. Stay with us. I want to take another call. And just see what some of the other callers will want to say about this particular topic. And maybe somebody needs prayer. If you do, just let us know when I put you on the air. I don't know who was here first. I'm just going to go to the next caller. Just stay with us. Area code 832, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hello?
Hello, area code 832, you're on the air. Hello? Okay. Area code 832-577, that's you. I did hear you. You're in the air if you wanted to speak. If not, I'll just go to the next call. Amen. Okay, you can just stay with us, continue to listen. Area code 713, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Area code 713-240, you're on the air. Okay, I guess everybody's listening. Area code 713. Okay, I guess a lot of people are just listening. But this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, Woman to Woman. And if you want to, if you have something to say, we want you to call in. The last three callers I put on the air probably didn't want to speak. I'll be coming back to you, but you can continue to listen. Area code 312-718, you're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you. Is this Erica?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God bless you, Erica. Welcome to Women to Women. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. And yourself?
Bless. Yeah, just really, you know, like I was just saying with Gazelle, just moving forward in purpose. We have had molestation has been highlighted in the news. Either way, like we said, there's a crime committed either way, whether it's true or false. But my guest, Misty Block, and I talked last week about the impact of molestation and abuse. And then we both, even last week, before all of this came out in the news, agreed that we wanted to continue to minister in this area. What are your comments? Do you have any comments or questions for me or Misty?
I, in my life, have experienced somewhat of that, and it has taken me through some difficulties in my life and has caused different things. The Lord has been working with me and different things that I've gotten into and done and things like that, where it has caused me and to act out in different ways and to involve myself in things that I probably wouldn't have been in had I had fully understood what was going on. I had a friend, a family member who tried to do something, you know, tried to attack me or whatever, and I never told anyone that it happened, because I knew that the way that my family was towards me, that nobody would really understand or probably wouldn't even believe me. And also had someone who was really close to me to attempt to as well. And I didn't quite know how to deal with it. I never had a chance to really talk to anybody about it. But a lot of the things that I did in my life and places that I went kind of reflects off a lot of things that I've been through. I didn't have anyone to really, you know, help me or steer me in the right direction. And my question is how do you really, you know, get through something like that? You know, how do you really deal with it when you don't have anyone that you could really go to talk to them about it or explain it, you know, rather than have people rub things in your face or blame you for what has happened?
Misty?
Well, I didn't have anyone. God himself healed me. I didn't share my story up until, again, 2 years ago, even though I openly spoke of it on my website. So I was silently dying inside. I know exactly where you are. You know, you feel like, you know, and my whole motto now is suffering silence no more. And you have to understand that God is your comforter. That means he's there for you in whatever need you have. And this gave me the process of building my relationship with God. I never had a one-on-one discussion or a mentor or a teacher or a godly counsel with my situation. When I tell you the Holy Spirit has been my teacher to heal me, God himself healed me. And through the process, it was a lonely process. It was a brokenness process. It was a purging process. But every woman has to get to that place where they separate themselves from their past. If you don't have a godly counsel, you don't have a mentor or a counselor, godly counsel, you have to begin to draw nigh unto the Lord. And that's what I did. I took 3 years away from everything. My environment changed. I stopped going out to the club. I stopped drinking. I really consumed myself with the Word of God. There's so many books that can help you. And I used the tools that I had. So I began to get the books. Michelle McKinney Hammond has a really good book, and I cannot think the name of it, but you'll know it right off the hand. But it really helped me to heal. And so I stayed in the Word of God. I ate the Word and meditated on it day and night. And that emptiness that you feel, know that that's your purpose calling you. But you cannot minister broken. And so you got to know that in where you are today, God himself will heal you. He's the only one that can mend your broken heart. He's the only one that can put you back together. And because you're crying out to him and you're saying you don't want to feel like that anymore, he's going to give you everything you need to heal. And that's what he did for me. I began to cry out and said, God, I can't do it anymore. I don't want to keep going in these cycles and patterns of my life that I continue.
Yes.
You know, the only equal equation to these men is me. I'm the choice bearer of everything that I'm going through. And so the cycles continue. The people change, but the cycle remains the same.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yes,
and you got to look at your cycles that you're creating in your life and
mm-hmm.
begin to say, you know what? I got to get off the roller coaster because
mm-hmm.
this is the same cycle. And there comes
yes.
a time of isolation when you don't date. You know, when you're broken and you don't know yourself, you don't need to be dating. Because how you going, the whole purpose of marriage is your purpose. If you don't know your purpose, how can you get into a relationship with a man? And that's how you get identity theft. Because, again, God created Eve to be a helpmeet. See, we're good at helping a man get where he needs to go. But you got to make sure that is the man God chose for you. But if you don't know your purpose, how can you help him? So you get caught up again in that identity theft because he says we should be suitable, adaptable, and complementary. And what we do is we do all of that but with the wrong people. So that cycle and pattern continues on and on. But I got off the roller coaster. I stopped dating. And I began to feel myself with God's presence, and I learned to love myself within me and that God is love. That void that you have that you're looking for love, God is love.
Yes,
and so you got to understand it. He is love. God himself, he's love. He's the creator of love. So you're looking for love, but you can only love to the level that you love yourself. So if you don't love yourself enough, your level of love is going to be low enough, the type of men you're going to draw. So I began to take myself, and I just built myself in loving myself, learning my purpose, learning my plan of God, and I kept doing that. And I'm telling you today, I can spot a loser from eye point before he gets to open up his mouth. I know exactly what you're going to say. Before you open up your mouth, and I know you're not lining up with God's plan for my life, because the first question I have for you, see, your struggle is to get off the roller coaster. Stop dating for a season. Find yourself, find your purpose, and then you will have a knowing, because he says he who finds a wife. So you don't have to look for a man. You got to look for the man, and that's Jesus Christ. When you build that relationship with God, you'll understand the love. His love, his level of love for us is so high. He doesn't give us anything. He wants to give us the best of everything. But if we don't know that, we'll just pick anything. We'll go to the bottom of the barrel and say that's good enough.
Mm.
No, it's not good enough. You are you have greatness inside of you, woman of God. You have purpose inside of you. You are a beauty of God's creation. And so you got to know and you got to speak that over yourself until you believe that. And you will no longer allow a loser to come in your life. You know, the Bible talks about a silly woman. And I think about that scripture. You know, a silly woman to me is a woman who loves God, go to church every day, and there's a man sitting there playing the video games, and he's borrowing your car, and he's doing all things, and no purpose in him. And how can you help him with his life? You know what I'm saying? How can you help him do anything for the kingdom? He ain't got no purpose. He ain't got no plan. He ain't doing nothing. So why would God give you him? Why would God give you your precious gift to him? He don't have nothing going for him, so that ain't God. So you learn to love yourself, woman of God. You speak over yourself that I am beauty. I am greatness. I am creation. I am purpose. And you walk in that thing, and I promise you, them losers won't come after you anymore. See, what I've learned is I used to hold my head down low. And that's when you draw. The lowest your head is, that's the lowest you go with the people that choose you.
Wow.
But when I begin to lift my head up, and and get a walk about me and a confidence about me when I tell you I know I'm a beautiful woman. I know I'm a godly woman. I know I'm all of that. But I now have this walk about me and this talk about me that I don't just walk the walk. I talk the talk and walk it. I'm living in righteousness. I'm living in holy. Do you know they don't come approach me? And I want to share this before we go to the next call. I want to share what God spoke to me, what this man of God said to me. The man that saw me through the process of what God did for me, he's a bookstore owner. I would go in there and get all the books and CDs and DVDs. He has a gospel bookstore here in Houston. And he saw me walk this process out for 5 years. And just the other day I went in to the bookstore, and we were having a conversation. He said, "Misty, I want you to know something." He says, "Don't worry about a man not coming to approach you, because the reason why they don't approach you is because they know they can't afford you." And I'm not talking about materially affording you. He's talking about spiritually. They cannot pay the price. They know they're going to have to give up their sin, their flesh, they because they have to come straight. And so they're not going to come at you the wrong way. They're going to respect and honor you because they know a virtuous woman when they see it. So you only want to attract those that God has chosen for you. And if they don't come at you and you're not getting any attention or all that, because God is hiding you. See, God is hiding me behind his wings. When I tell you, they don't even come at me, because my prayer said, "God, hide me until you have the one that you have chosen." I don't want no longer to get caught up in some emotional relationships, and that's, again, another story. I don't have time to go there. You know, we as women, we can get caught up in some emotional relationships and thinking, I know he's not the one. I know he's not my type. I know he ain't where he needs to be in God, but we have a great conversation. That's the trick of the enemy. Because when you have that emotional tie, and that emotional bond, all of a sudden you get right back to that place of lowness, because you begin to lower your standard because this person is saying the right things, he's doing the right things, he's taking you to the right places, and all of that. And then you begin to say, "Well, maybe he's not that bad." But see, I don't want any man. I want only the man God has chosen for me. So you got to be very careful in this season that you walk lightly and don't get caught up in the emotional relationship, because all men are not bad. That's not what I'm saying. But you only want the one God has chosen for you, because that's the only one that's going to work in your life. Amen? That's the only one that's going to give you what you need. He's the only one that's going to put up with your mess. The only one that's going to understand your children. He's the only one. So you get caught up in your emotional relationship and never take the time to cleanse your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit. You got to prepare for the man God has chosen for you. And in your time of preparation, that means you should not be dating. You shouldn't be dating.
Wow.
And I know I cut up many of you, but I'm just saying, you should not be dating. You got to get your flesh under subjection, because in your time of preparation for a husband, that's why he's not there. I'm talking to many of y'all. That's why he hasn't come into your life. It's not that you're not worthy. It's not that you're not deserving, but God can't send him to you broken if you got a purpose. I'm talking to those who got a purpose, and you understand your purpose, and you're walking towards that thing. God is not going to send you a husband until you get cleansed and renewed, because he needs all these. He wants a kingdom agenda, a kingdom assignment. See, Pastor Rebecca, when God hooked you up with your husband, you instantly went into purpose. You instantly went into fulfilling the plan of God for your life. Even when you didn't know where you was going or what you were supposed to do, God had connected you to purpose, and your life went forth. Amen. So, but he didn't want you broken, but because you were in a dark place, he had to help you out. But I'm talking to those of you who are in the Word of God, and you walking toward your purpose, and you know the Word of God, you're ministering and all that. God is not going to send them until you take a time out and get your life together. Get your purpose together. Cleanse yourself of your mind, body, soul, and spirit. And God, when you prepare for the man God is preparing for you, then you will have the fullness, the abundance of life, the purpose, you know, and then the devil won't have room in your marriage. See, because when you're broken, Pastor Rebecca, and you're in a marriage, and I'm talking to somebody right now, you have a struggle in the bedroom. That man, you can't please him because you still caught up in what the accuser and the abuser did to you. Because, see, you cannot give him the fullness of your body and your soul and your spirit because them soul ties are still attached to you. So you got to loose yourself and cleanse yourself of that because in your mind, in the back of your mind, you're battling. You know, you're still battling your past and what happened. And, you know, the things keep playing in your mind. And your husband trying to love you, and you're like, don't touch me like that because that's what such and such did. And that is not the will of God. You have to know that God is going to fully cleanse you, fully heal you. You should not have those memories. I don't know who I'm talking to. But if you do, you need to take a time out and really say, God, expose, reveal, and deal with my issues. Because I want to be full and ready for the man God has chosen for me. I want him to have all of me, not a part of me. God wants you complete, lacking nothing. My God, okay, I'm going to stop right there.
My
please,
God.
Wow.
My God,
wow.
My God. Erica,
wow.
Did she answer your question?
She said a mouthful.
My God. My God. What hit you? What really hit you, Erica?
Everything. I've been, oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to begin.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
God, be the glory.
I just thank you. Woman of God for allowing God to use you the way that he did and just for revealing things in my life. And I just thank God because I know that he loves me. I know that he loved me. I know that he loved me.
Yes.
And he proves it to me every day. And everything that I talk to him about and everything that I go through and the things that I'm dealing with now, he just always knows when to send his word, and he always confirms everything that he says, everything that he teaches me, everything that he shows me. And today is only confirmation of what he's been doing already. And oh my goodness. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
And I want you to know that I've been teaching on the evolution of a godly wife because we don't prepare. We prepare for the wedding, but we don't prepare for the man and what it takes in marriage. And God has me in that vein, and it's truly, you know, it's really transforming me. Even though I've been married 3 times, I'm talking about a godly wife. There's a difference between a wife and a godly wife because you got to learn how to be the wife God created in scripture, and what that's the whole purpose. Because when you learn that, when we get self-help books for our careers, we always advance in our careers. We're always learning. We're always evolving as a parent. But when it comes to relationships, we don't give that to the Lord. We somehow think that we got that together. We don't need God for that. But in reality, I know I need the Lord to show me what I'm supposed to be doing. I cannot assume that I know anything concerning any subject matter. And so I just encourage you to stand on God's word and prepare yourself because know that there is no lack in the kingdom. I don't care what the statistics say in this earth. There is no lack in the kingdom. If you got purpose, you can have a mate. I just believe that God has a man for you. If you have purpose in you and you walking towards that, God said, I have it. No man live alone.
And Missy, that is so powerful because as you were speaking about preparing for a mate, and I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and you're tuned in to Woman to Woman. And all of the callers and especially my highlighted guests have really been a blessing today. We're talking about dealing with the impact of molestation and abuse and also preparing to be that godly wife because molestation and abuse will stop you from moving forward into purpose and to being who God has said you would be. One of the things that stands out, Missy, is you talk about coming away, coming out from amongst them, being set apart. The church was called out of the world to be set apart. Going into a time of preparation like Esther, when she was called into the kingdom, she had to go through a refining process. And when we're called out of the world into the kingdom of God, we go through a refining process. We should be going through a refining process where we do, if we're not married, stop dating and really get into relationship with God. And as you were speaking, Missy, the Lord showed me that we have to be married to him. We have to become the bride of Christ individually. We look at this as a corporate thing. The God of Jesus is coming back for a bride for the church without spot or wrinkle. But that's each and every one of us have to prepare ourselves to be the bride, amen, to meet Jesus face to face. We have to allow ourselves to enter into relationship with God where he purges us of all of the outside influences of the world that we encounter before coming into the kingdom of God. And when we truly do, Erica and Gazelle and Misty and all of the other listeners, when we truly do allow God to purge us from our past, we can become healed. When we give ourselves, you said, mind, body, soul, and heart, with everything, we should be able to give that to our husbands. But we cannot give that to our husbands until we give that first to God. When we can give ourselves fully, see, that's the problem. There's a disconnect in our relationship with God where we want to hold back our bodies. We want to hold back our sexual side. We want to hold back that part of us and take that part outside of the plan, outside of our relationship with God. No, but that's a part of our relationship with God. Yeah. Because, Missy, you talked about not being able to be fully, not being able to enjoy the marriage bed as much because of what has happened, because that's what they did to me. There were certain body parts that my husband could not touch. Because my perpetrator touched me in that place, in that way. And God had to have me really fully release that part of myself to him, and to God. And when I say that part of myself, that part of the pain. See, I was still holding back a part of the pain. And for women that are listening, God wants you to give every part of the pain to him. Don't hold back any parts of the pain. Sometimes it's hard to release the pain because it's painful to release the pain. And God is saying he won't put any more on you than you can handle. You can handle the operating room. You can handle allowing God to open you up so that he could go down onto the inside of you and take out all the filthiness and all the dirty parts and all the painful memories so that he could put you back together again, so that he could pour his love and his healing balm into that wound to make you whole. God wants to make us whole, but in order to make us whole, sometimes it has to hurt. You have to listen to a broadcast like this. You have to be a part of a forum like this. That's why I said call in so that we can talk this thing out. Call in to Misty's broadcast on Wednesday. Call into her show on Thursday so that we can flesh this thing out so that we can become whole. Sisters helping sisters to become whole, because sometimes it hurts. It hurts to become whole. When they brought the woman before God and she had been caught in adultery, they just bore her. What about the man that she was sleeping with? But they bore her. But thank God they bore her, because Jesus said, "Your woman, you're healed from your filthiness. You're healed from your sin. Go and sin no more." When the woman touched him with the issue of blood, she said, "I got issues. I'm not talking about my sister, my brother, the person that touched me, but I have issues, God. I need to touch Jesus so that he can make me whole, so that I don't have to be hurting anymore." And that's what we need to do. We need to touch Jesus so that he can make us whole. I'm not talking about religious experience. We're talking about a relational experience where I have a daily relationship with God. When I pray, ladies, when I pray, I see God. I visualize me touching the hem of his garment. I close my eyes and I get into the presence of God. And I just zone out. People say, might call me crazy, might call me a fanatic, may call me a freak. But the thing about it is I know that I'm healed today because of my relationship with God. Yeah. My husband couldn't fix me. I wanted him to fix me. I wanted him to make me happy. He had happiness and I was miserable. And all I wanted to do was make him miserable. And if you're broken, and you enter into a marriage or you enter into a relationship, and I'm speaking from experience here, you're going to make that other person miserable because you're not whole yet. And that marriage won't last until you really give it to God. I had to close myself off for months, writing the cry of a woman's heart, writing nobody's business, so that I could be purged, so that I could be healed. And sometimes it takes you sitting down and writing it out. No one might not ever read your journal, might not ever read your book, but you might need to write the book, write the journal, and just get it out. Get it out. Go to someone. Sit and talk to somebody. Tell them exactly what happened. somebody that you could trust, of course, and just get it out. You know, just get it out. Flesh it out so that you can say, look, that's off my chest. Or go before the Lord and just get on your knees. Get into your closet and say, God, you already know. You know already. You know the way that I take. You know the way that I take. But let me tell you, this is on my heart. And just pour out before the Lord and let the Lord hold you and let him embrace you. I'm telling you, if you attempt to get into the presence of the Lord, when you make up your mind, I want to spend time in his presence, God will meet you right there where you are. And
yes,
he will heal you. He will heal you. So I just thank God for Misty and Erica and Gazelle, who's also still on the line with us. Gazelle, did you have anything to say about that, what we were just talking about, or what anything the Lord has on your heart?
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, I didn't talk to anyone either. I literally spent a long time, you know, trying to figure out, what do I do with this? Where do I put this? I can't keep it in me. What do I do with it? And I ended up pouring it out. And what started as a journal ended up as a book, because living with it, breathing with it, keeping it with me and inside of me day in and day out is like walking around, you know, drinking poison like it's Kool-Aid. You can't. You have to be able to get it out. You have to be able to release it and to understand that, you know, in its due season, it will all be healed. I tell people, you know, and they think I'm crazy. I said, I pray for the person who actually went out and did this, because you're in a place worse than I am. And if I stand in judgment on you, then God has to stand in judgment on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray for the people who mistreat you. I pray for the people who are, you know, deceiving. I pray for the ex-husbands. I pray for the baby daddies. I pray for all of the folks who come in and do you wrong, because, after all, they're only human. They can't do you like Jesus can, because they're not him.
Mm-hmm.
So when you embrace it and understand that, you know, you're dealing with human beings who are doing the best that they can or the best they feel they should, then that changes your perspective. But it is about healing. It's about letting it go. It is about learning to accept it as life and to not wear it, to not put on the robe of a victim. You are not a victim. You are a child of God. My Bible says, do anything more than you can bear. So what you've been given is what God already knew you could handle. If you don't believe that, then you call God a liar. So if it's been given to you, it's your mantle to wear. There is a purpose behind it. It's the sooner you embrace it, the better. I also want to speak to, I'm not dating. I tell everyone, I said, I'm waiting for God to send me the man I'm supposed to have, because
my God
sucks. Okay? I can't go about looking for, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry who passes my way. And I completely understand what the young lady said about, you know, you wear that mantle of a woman of God, and they don't step to you. They don't, because they already know you about business. And they can't come over here, and they can't just tell you anything, and you won't just believe it. So when you stand in that place, and you have to understand that, you know, the purpose of being alone is to heal. You can't heal with distraction. You can't heal. You're trying to work on some man when you need to work on you. You need that
Amen.
Alone.
Amen.
That you need to be able to focus on God. You know, when you want to get up and go to church, you should be able to get up and go to church, okay? When you're in a relationship, you got to check with husband. He might have other plans, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you are by yourself, then you are answerable to yourself, and you have to be able to focus solely on God. And when you focus on God and you get near to him and you get close to him, and when he comes to you and he talks to you and he walks with you, he will heal you, because God can't sit in a broken house any more than you can. So if you're
My God,
he's going to bring healing.
Mm.
And
powerful.
That healing will come not just for you, but for people who touch your lives, people who walk through your life, people who come to know you will understand there's something different about her. And I've had people ask me, you're different. And I'm like, yes. I was like, well, would you like to know why?
Yes.
And you have an open to tell the world, this is not me, this is God. And you can't get that if you all caught up with when my next date. I got to get my head out and my neck done, because I got to be fly for when I go to the club to pick up some man. Your focus is wrong. Your focus needs to be on, okay, where do I need to be for God? to work in and through me. When you get that focus and when you least expect it, the person that you've been going, okay, where is he, will walk up and you won't even realize it.
Yes, that's the truth.
Come on.
But you got to wait in God's timing as well. You said if you are broken, God's not going to send you a good man. Why would he? Why would he send a good man to someone who's still broken? Fix you, and will come along.
Come on.
Yeah, okay. Amen. And that man, I just want to add to that because, you know, I was broken, and the Lord sent me a good man, but he was broken. And to whom much is given, believe me, much is required. We both went through some stuff trying to get it together to get to the point where together we would be able to serve the Lord. God knows the plans that he has for us, and his grace and his mercy, he will even send you help when you're not even looking for help. Like you said, Misty, I wasn't even looking for help, and the Lord sent me a man into a bar to remind me, you know, that this wasn't life, that this wasn't his plan for me. I mean, all I wanted to do was go hang out, have some drinks, flirt with some men, have me a boyfriend, try to make this man marry me, and make my own life. And still, I was miserable. I was miserable anyway, you know. But I thank God. I am so grateful. And my testimony is not your testimony. I thank God that each and every one of us has our own individual testimony. But I thank God that he has a plan for each and every one of us. And his plan is not the perpetrator's plan. His plan is not the abuser's plan. His plan is not the molester's plan. See, he has a plan for those people's lives too. And they are wreaking havoc on a lot of people's lives. And even when we being victims have turned into perpetrators in some way, form, or fashion, where we have hurt people, and we can acknowledge that we have hurt people in our lives.
Yes.
You know, I committed murder.
Yes.
I confess to having had an abortion. You know, I hurt somebody. I shut out a life. And I mean, that breaks my heart to know that I did that. But I thank God for forgiveness.
Yes.
And his forgiveness and the blood of Jesus that covers all of my sins that I committed prior to coming into the knowledge of Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and even some that I have committed afterwards that I have repented of, which means I didn't just say I was sorry, but I had to totally turn away. I think about Ezekiel 36, where God said, "I will take you out from amongst the heathen." He said, "I will put a new heart in you, and I will put a new spirit in you." He said, "Then I will give you my spirit and cause you to obey my command." And God is just really saying that in the beginning, I'll do it. I will do it. When you first get saved, God is doing a lot of the work. He's doing most of the work. He's doing all of the work. But then he gets us to a point where we have to choose life, and we have to choose to walk with God and make that conscious choice that we're not going to let what happened in the past control us any longer. But now we're going to choose life, and we're going to choose God's way, because he, in the beginning, we were babies, but now that we have become mature, now that we have become women of God, we have to make a conscious choice. Look, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sleep with him. No. I'm keeping my legs closed. I'm keeping my clothes on. I'm not sleeping with that joker. I know I need, it's going to make me feel good, but I'm going to Jesus this time. I'm going to let God make me feel good. I'm not going to just give myself away to a man, but I'm going to give myself away to the Lord. I'm going to let God have my body, my mind, my soul, and my strength, my power, I give to him. And I'm taking my power from man and giving it to God and taking back my power to walk holy. And that's a word that's not used that much in the kingdom, but I want to walk holy and upright before the Lord, because his plan for me is greater than the plan of the devil. And we have to make up our minds that we're going to walk with the Lord, and I'm going to give God my pain, and I know God can handle my pain. And not only that, but he can take away the pain. God says, I give you a new heart. it's time for us to receive that new heart, you know, and just really, really allow the Lord to heal us. We are holding on. Some of us are holding on to the pain because it's familiar, because we're scared to be healed, because we're scared to be sold out. But God has not given you a spirit of fear. If you will really step into the another realm, God wants us to step into this realm of the supernatural, where we are walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. My God, I didn't mean to make a comment. We have 11 minutes. I don't know. Misty, I'm going to give you this last 10 minutes because I want you to talk about the power of forgiveness. I'm going to check the phone lines one more time for those who we couldn't get before. Area code 111, are you there? Did you want to speak? Your number is showing up as 111. Okay, that person does not want to speak. Area code 713, are you there? Did you want to speak?
$3 rate.
Amen. Okay, so Misty, I'm going to give you this last 10 minutes. This is close us out in the last 2 minutes. I just want you to stop in the last couple of minutes and pray. But let's go forward.
Okay, praise God. And, you know, when we talk about forgiveness, again, my life did not transform until I walked in the fullness of forgiveness. In that process, I didn't want to be bitter anymore. I didn't want to be angry. I didn't want to be frustrated because I realized that was holding me in captivity, holding me in captivity of my life because I've learned in life that in life, many people will hurt you, and the layers keep adding up. And I've learned, as Giselle was speaking about, how it's hard to trust people once you come through something. But I've also learned that in life, not only will a man hurt you, but family members are hurt you, friends, colleagues, you know, it goes on and on. And how can we forgive our loved ones, our family, our friends, and not forgive the accuser and anyone else? Because we can't forgive one and not forgive the other, because you're still holding yourself in captivity. Forgiveness is not for the accuser. Forgiveness is for yourself, to release yourself from the bondage of hell that's got you bound. And so you got to understand, you're doing it for that person. You're really doing it for yourself. And I really, Pastor Rebecca, I remember crying out to the Lord saying, you know, I don't want this in my heart no more. This is not even me. I've always been a loving person, kind person, give my last to anyone, and so I don't receive this identity theft again that the enemy is trying to take on me. And God gave me a book, 5 Steps to Healing a Hurting Heart. And you know what, Pastor Rebecca, I hit that book. I never even really, I started writing it, and I kind of left it there. And I realized today I got to pick that book back up, and I got to get it done. Healing a hurting heart. And the first step comes in forgiving yourself, asking for forgiveness and forgiving yourself, because in the process of hurting, you begin to hurt people. Hurt people hurt hurting people. Hurt people hurt others. And so as I'm hurting, I'm hurting someone else. And so I have to begin to ask God to forgive me of my mess, because, again, like you, Pastor Rebecca, I had 2 abortions because of the wrong choices and looking for love in the wrong places. And I was walking in condemnation because I felt like, okay, I'm a murderer. You know, I allowed my identity theft. Again, it kept going worse and worse.
Go ahead.
I'm not a thief. I'm not a stealer. I even was hurting other men. You know, there were some good men that God brought into my life, and I couldn't love them because I was hurting. I wanted to make their life miserable. I couldn't trust them, and, you know, it was a mess. So I went through all these stages of hurting people as people were hurting me, and then it just goes into this vicious cycle. And God gave me the steps. It was first forgive yourself. Forgive yourself of the condemnation of the, that's got you bound. Rather it be men sleeping, having sexual lust, whatever the situation. Rather it be that you abuse someone else, because abusers usually become abused. Those who are abused usually become abusers in some way, whether it be mentally, physically, emotionally. you become an abuser and you don't even know it. So begin to forgive yourself. After you forgive yourself, the next step, number two, is to forgive others. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they've done. You got to forgive the other people. Step three is to pray for your enemies. You got to pray for those who caused you harm. And I'm going to tell you, when I began to do that, I didn't mean it. It took me a very long time because what you're doing is beginning to loose the chains of hell off that person because you got to believe your prayers are reaching God.
That's good.
So as I began to pray for my accusers and my enemies, and I began to understand that God is going to move in their life. The next step, which I got twisted, I'm sorry, the third step was to write down every person you had sexual intercourse with and every person that's hurt you, every person you've hurt. I mean, it takes days to write this list, but I want you to understand, if you walk out this process, you're going to be free for life. God began to remind me of people I slipped with, I forgot, because, when we in the world, we doing some stuff we know better, and even when we ain't in the world. So the people that I was reminded of, it really crushed me. I forgot. I didn't even know some of their names, but God knew in the spirit. And so I was writing down the names of my enemies, writing down all those soul ties, writing down those who I needed to be forgiven from, and then I begin to pray for myself, pray for the accusers, pray for God to change the heart of those I hurt. And when I tell you, when you pray that, and then the next step, number four, was to read the Word of God 5 minutes a day, just 5 minutes. I begin to read God's Word 5 minutes a day. This is how God cleansed me and washed me. 5 minutes a day, I would read the Word, and after so long, I grew to love the Word. And I would be in the Word hours of meditation and praying and all of this. And so God built my relationship. That's how you're going to build your relationship with God. That's how you build intimacy with God, because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. So as you're reading the Word and studying the Word, that's building your intimacy with God. And after that, the last step, number five, is to journal. Tell your story on paper, because that is a cleansing in itself. Me writing every day, some days were good, some were bad. See, most of the times we only want to write the good things. But if you write out how you feel, no matter what it is, what I did, I wrote it out. And I'm telling you, Pastor Rebecca, I will go back. I didn't go back every day to look at what I read. I would wait until I finished a full journal. I started out small. I would go back and see my growth, because as I'm praying, so you got to pray every day. It's not when I feel like it. This is something you have to be committed to. And if you follow these five steps and these five principles, five steps to healing a hurting heart, you will be fully healed, delivered, and set free. Of course, there's more of the cleansing of the mind, the body, soul, and spirit, but this is the first part of the step. It took me a year to really mean what I prayed. I'm telling you, I did not mean it. I would pray for my enemies and pray for my stepfather and pray. And you know, another thing, Pastor Rebecca, God put on my heart just now that we did not touch on, and we have to get there another day, but the absentee father, the void of a father, the missing link of the father being in
my
your life.
God.
And that, again, is a whole nother issue, Whitman. And because he was absent, you don't have an example of what a father should be or what a man should treat you like. And you get caught up choosing the wrong people in your life, the wrong men. And it's another whole nother situation we don't have time to go into, but I want you to know that you must even forgive the father that was absent. God, again, restored my relationship with my father I never had. And when my mother passed away, I learned later that my mother never gave him the opportunity to be a father. She never allowed him the opportunity. She moved me away to Denver, Colorado, and never gave him a communication ever since. I didn't even know who my father was. That was another layer. When I say God has not left anything untouched or unturned in my life. There's nothing I haven't been through besides drug addiction, because everything else, I think I've walked it out already. My God.
My
and so,
God.
I just want to, how much time? I want to go make sure we have time for prayer.
Right. I tell you, it's just, we have to come back. And Miss Diesel on every Wednesday and every Thursday. What time?
8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's under blogtalkradio.com/inspiredforchange by Misty.
Amen. And I just want you to find her, Misty Blog, on Blog Talk Radio. And we only have 1 minute. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. We're going to come back. I'm going to touch on this issue again next week. And I don't know, Misty, if you'll be able to come back. But we want to, we're going to flesh it out. We're going to finish what we started. We only had 2 hours today, and I see that was not enough. So come back next week at 1 o'clock, and we're just going to close out in prayer, and we'll see you back here next week at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, Misty, I thank you so much for being with me on today, and I thank everybody for calling in. Misty, I want you to just go ahead and prayers out, because I want this prayer to go through the streaming.
Amen. God bless. Thank you again, Pastor Rebecca, for having me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come thanking you, God, for this day that you created, Lord. Lord, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, known and unknown. Clear our minds so we can hear from you on today and every day, Father. God, I come speaking to your daughters that are broken, that are bound and loose by the hand of the enemy, God. I come, God, asking and requesting your hand on their life, Father. I come praying, God, that you will lead them and guide them in the place that you would have them to go in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you will heal their broken heart, strengthen every bone and cell of their body, Father. I pray and come against the hand of the enemy in their mind, body, soul, and spirit, Father. I speak life over them from the top of their head to the bottom of the soul, Father. I thank you for the blood that covers them, God.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, God, that they will fulfill the fullness of your plan and your purpose in their life, God. We come against the spirit of identity theft. We come against drug addiction, alcoholism, sexual abuse, rape, molestation. God, we send your power of your ministering angels, your healing angels on their behalf. God, meet every need that they may have mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially, Father. God, meet them right where they are. God, I thank you, Father, that you will show them your loving kindness, your unconditional love, Father. God, that they will understand that you are real in their lives, God. Reveal yourself strong, God. Teach them and mold them into who you have created them to be, Father.
Yes.
God, I pray that you continue to open divine connections, open doors, miracles, signs, and wonders, Father, that will follow them all of their life. God, I thank you, God, for strengthening them, God, in those who are married, God, that the broken places, God, you'll heal them over, God, and they will know that you have sent them a mighty man of God and love him and that he will love them through their pain, Father. I come praying, God, for those who cannot love their children because of what has taken place, God, that you will even heal their wounds, God, and cover them, Father, to teach them to be the mother that they need to be and the father they need to be because of what has taken place, God. We thank you, God, that there will be no stone unturned in their life, Father. We thank you, God, in advance, God, for open doors and any job opportunity, God, whatever they need to fulfill your plan, God. We thank you for financial breakthroughs. We thank you, God, right now, God, whatever the lack is in their house, you said in your word, you'll perfect everything concerning us as we keep our hands busy. So, Father, we thank you for that. And, Father, we come against the spirit of suicide. We come against the spirit of backlash and retaliation in their lives. We thank you, Father, God, they shall live
thank
and not
you,
die, God. We thank you, God, for the attack that's on their lives, God. They will withstand it with the shield of armor, God. They will stand with the full armor of God, Father.
Yes.
And we thank you, God, you will teach them and mold them and send them into the right home church, God. Lead them and guide them with go, God, that they will not be going in this earth aimless, God, without purpose, without a plan, God. Teach them your ways and your precepts, God, that they will be able to keep their legs closed and they won't look to a man for love, but they will look to you, God. They will understand that love starts within, Father. We thank you, God, in advance that it's already done. We thank you, Father. You said wherever two or more are gathered in your name, name. You shall be in the midst, Father. So we thank you that we speak by faith that all these things are already done. And, Lord, I pray a blessing, a hundredfold blessing upon Pastor Rebecca and her ministry and her husband and family, God. We thank you, God, for blessings, God. Any crooked places, make it straight in her life, God. And as she continue to walk in the passion of you and your people, you will give her the strength, God, to continue to stretch herself to the next dimension in you, Father. And I thank you, God, that there will be nothing that is lacking in her home and her finances and her family and her children and her marriage, Father, and anything that's broken, you're going to piece it back together, God, better than it ever was before, Father. And we thank you, and God, we praise you for every listener, every archive. God, we thank you, Father, for meeting us here on today, God. We give you glory, praise, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for taking us
from your glory to your glory. Thank you for healing us. Heal every woman listening, God. Heal every man listening, oh God. Let the bomb go out across the airways, go out across the internet waves, oh God. In the name of Jesus. We thank you that it's already done. We thank you that it's already done. Cut off the hand of the perpetrator. And Lord, for those of us who are molesting, for those of us, Father God, for those who are listening who are now yet molested, for now yet inflicting pain on others, Lord, we pray a special healing that you would release your balm, that you would heal them and help them, Father God, to come away from this behavior, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray for the perpetrator that you would even heal the molester. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heal every hurting area. Mend every broken heart. Bind up every crippled place, oh God. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that it's already done. We thank you, Lord. We bind up Satan off of the lives of your women right now, God. We declare war against the hands of Satan right now. In the name of Jesus. We rebuke Satan right now off the lives of the women, of the lives of the men, for every boy, every girl. In the name of Jesus, we go to the homes of those who are on this line, and we come against molestation. Every evil thing that's being done in darkness right now, we cast it down right now in the name of Jesus. We protect our children. We protect our children. We put a hedge of protection around our children, every child, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We bind up that spirit and cast it into the pit right now.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you for anointing the archives, oh God, that every person that listens will listen to the end and get set free, oh God. Amen. God, we thank you for purpose. We release every woman right now into divine purpose in the name of Jesus. Destiny is calling. Your name is destiny. Your name is destiny. Hallelujah. Your name is virtuous woman. Your name is purpose. Your name is victory. Your name is healed. In the name of Jesus. Your name, oh God, is holy. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God, my God.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, my almighty God. What a mighty God. What an awesome God. God has a women of God, I just want to speak out into your lives over the archives. Listen, what the devil meant for harm, God has turned that thing around for your good. And go ahead and cry because God is catching every tear. He said he catches every tear, preserves them in the bottle. And you have to know that that same anointing of your tears is being poured out over your head. The Bible says he anointed your head with oil, your cup overflowing. And for God is giving you back double for your shame. He's giving you joy for mourning. He's giving you rejoicing for weeping. And for everything that you have had to endure, God's going to pay you back. And this is a season for you to walk into your season to receive everything that God has for you. The devil wanted to destroy you. He wanted to take your praise. He wanted to take your purpose. But God says today he's releasing you into purpose. Hallelujah. In the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus. Some of you are writing books. Some of you have more books to write. Gazelle, God says even more books will flow from your bosom. Even more books will flow from your belly. But Misty, God says publish the book. Write the book. That book had, when you said it, I knew that there was a book. And God is releasing you to go back and blow the dust off. He's blowing the dust off of that book for you to go forward. And Erica, there's a book in you. There's even a book in you, says the Lord. My God, God says he's going to release. He's releasing ministry in you, in your belly, that rivers of living water shall flow from your belly. And God says no more. I see where the devil's trying to hold you back and you're pressing against the rope. God says you're breaking through the finish line today. And there's certain things that are finished in your life. He's cutting some stuff off in your life today, Erica. And certain certain things are finished, and God says, it is finished in the name of Jesus. And Gazelle, I see a new release in your life where God is releasing you into even the more of him, my God. And even the things that God has entrusted you with some things, Gazelle. And God says, those things that I have entrusted you with, there's a release. There's a release. He says, your words are going to wash over many women. Many women will come out and be made clean because of your testimony, my God. And God is calling you into alliance with powerful women. There are women, he's cutting off some things. There's some women that have steered you wrong, Gazelle. There's some women who have done you wrong. And God says, I'm cutting those things off. He says, I'm putting them into the sea of forgetfulness. He said, I remember them no more. He says, but I need you to remember them no more. There's a release. There's a release taking place in your life today. There's some current, God says, even with the old testimony, there's some current hurts that God says, I want you to release. And the only way that you're going to be able to release them is to continue to walk in the spirit of forgiveness. Continue to walk in the spirit of forgiveness. Continue to walk in the spirit of forgiveness. He said, I want you to release some folks because they're holding you back from your destiny. They're holding you back from your purpose in the name of Jesus. God says, where I'm taking you, and this is for every woman that's listening. God says, where I'm taking you, he says, certain things can't go with you. He said, I cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. So I need you all to pick up the new wineskins today, to cast out the old and pick up the new. There's a new, today is the first day of the rest of your spiritual life. Some of you have gotten to a plateau in me, and God says, today I see you bursting through. I see you crossing one line into another realm. You're breaking through. You're breaking forth. You're breaking through. There's been some pressure. I feel the pressure. There's been some pressure on your life. And God says, I want you to press through the pressure. And I think I released this word to you individually, Misty, last week, where God wants you to press through the pressure. And even since you made up your mind that you were going to go forward and do what God has said, what God has told you to do, there's been some opposition, and that opposition is creating pressure in your life. And God says, I want you to remember the word that I spoke to you and press through the pressure. Press through that pressure. And there's a burden on your shoulders, Gazelle. And God says, release that to me. Release your daughter to me. God says, even in the area of your daughter, he says, I want you to release your daughter to me. And Erica, God is saying, release your love life to me. Release it. Release it. Release me. He said, Erica, you made up your mind to follow me and to walk with me and to obey me. He said, don't be afraid now. This is not the time to be scared. I have not given you that spirit. So I bind up that spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. And you shall. You are a mighty woman of valor. You are a holy woman of God. And it's not what it looks like, says the Lord. Don't go by what you see, but go by what I have said. And I just want to release those words across the atmosphere, across the, as I want to release them to each and every one of you, and for all of you who are listening. And there's a word also for the women who are still on the line who did not speak. And God is saying to you, you've been holding on, and you've been waiting, and you've been waiting to hear from me. And this is your word right now. Go forth. Arise. Arise from that place of despair and go forth. He says, I've been calling you higher, and this is your time to come higher with me. God says, you've been straddling the fence. You've been kind of looking over the fence. You've been hanging all half on and half off. You've been in. You got one foot in. You're playing hokey-pokey. You know, you put your right foot in. You put your right foot out. God says, I need you to come in with both feet. God says, I need you to jump in with both feet because I'm taking you somewhere. And stop looking back like Lot's wife because you're losing your saltiness. God says, I need you to jump in with both feet, release the old, come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Come out of the place of old because I'm taking you to a new place. And there's somebody that God is saying, don't die in the wilderness. You've been having a hard time. You've been having a rough time. But God is saying, don't die in the wilderness because I'm bringing you to a new place in me. And you got to receive it today. It's so important that you receive this word today. Somebody just hung up. And God is saying, don't miss your blessing by thinking that this is not me. but this is me, and I want you to choose life today. I'm standing before you, life and death. Zoe, and in the life where the devil's been trying to have his way with you, and today God says, choose Zoe, choose life, and choose that life more abundantly. Amen. And I believe the Lord has spoken today. Amen.
Amen.
Misty, I tell you, God is just—he's just so awesome, and He has spoken.
Yes, He is. It's amazing, amazing. I mean, I'm tears of joy. It's all I can say. You know, Pastor Rebecca, I thank God for your obedience and having me on, and it really goes to show we have to come together. You know, the whole purpose of my ministry is linked together to make a difference. We have to come together. Look at all the testimonies and look at, you know, they didn't even get one side of the story. They have four sides of a story.
Mm.
And if you're not delivered just based upon what God has done for us, my God, just on the testimonies alone. So we have to link together to make a difference and tackle this thing. And, you know, I really believe, Pastor Rebecca, it's going to be more to come out of this. You and I are going to do more things in Gazelle, and I just believe God is going to link everybody up, and we're just going to defeat the enemy and flat-footed tear his kingdom down on this subject, because there are so many women who have so much purpose and not fulfilling it. And so I thank God for your obedience. I thank God for His divine connection, and I look forward to many more things to come in this.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we're out of time. We're certainly out of talk. We're going to come back next week and we'll talk about some more about dealing with the hurt of the pain of the past. And Misty, again, I welcome you to come back and be with me, Gazelle and Erica, just to come back. And let's just do an open forum next week where we just open up from the beginning and just have women call in and testify. And we're going to speak into the area of dealing with, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So we're going to band together, and I want to go on Misty's broadcast. She will be on this Thursday, dealing with the area of Sisters with Voices. That's what are you doing Thursday?
I started. After I hung up with you last week, I immediately knew I have to do another day. And so I'm ready to be healed. And I started with talking about the power of change. Pastor Rebecca, my sister, she was not molested, but she was in a home with my mother with domestic violence and all the issues. And at any rate, my sister came on. My prayer for my sister was deliverance. My sister had been struggling with cocaine addiction, and she just had a baby. 3 months ago, I had a new nephew, and she went to recovery July, the day before my birthday. She came out. She came on the show. I just encourage you to go on the archive and testify how God has changed her life. And so I'm just... God is moving in my family. He's moving in my life. And the power of change was the message, and she shared how giving her life to God has changed her life. And so this week we'll be dealing with the process to purpose and understanding, you know, there's a process to your purpose. Because if we speak to purpose, the pain will go away, you know.
My God.
And so I want to speak on that, and I would love to come on anytime. Any of you come on, Pastor Rebecca. I just believe we need to tag team whenever your schedule sees fit. You know,
yes,
you're welcome
yes.
to come on.
That's it. That's it. Yes.
And that's how we're gonna win against the enemy. Coming together as one. Unity.
What time?
It's at 8:00 Central Standard Time.
What time is that? Eastern.
It's an hour.
9:00.
You're one. Yeah.
Gazelle said
yeah,
9 o'clock. Okay, so 9
yeah.
o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So how do we get there?
It's blogtalkradio.com/Inspired for Change by Misty. Or you can call in. The call-in number is 347-215-8770. The Phone number again, 347-215-8770.
Okay, I'm there. So I'll see you Thursday. I am free this Thursday night, and I will be there. And I invite all of our listeners to come and join us. BlogTalkRadio.com/inspiredforchange with Misty Blog at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can call in 347-215-8770. And this week, Misty will be dealing with the topic of the process to purpose. And I'm going to call in and be delighted to even have a voice to have something to say when she does open up the phone lines. But I'm coming to listen also. So I invite all of you to come and be a part of what Misty is doing, because we have to, like you said, do this, team up and talk together about what God is doing. And while Gazelle's here, I just want to highlight her book. Gazelle was one of my guests earlier. I am still highlighting women of power, Christian women of power. And Gazelle wrote a book, That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. Did I get it right, Gazelle?
Yes, you did.
Amen. What? Hallelujah. That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. My God. And let us know how we can get a copy. Tell us a little bit about your book and for the archive listeners, because we are getting a lot of hits on the archives. And I thank everybody for telling everybody about this. Tell us about your book and where we can get it.
Well, I tell everyone the easiest way to find my book is to type in That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger, a comma, and Gazelle Simmons. It's G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S, and up it pops. You can't miss it. If you have any problems finding it, my email address is gazelle.simmons@gmail.com. Feel free to email me. I'll send you the links and all the information. There's a free preview online so you can look and see what the book is about before you even get to it. And, you know, it's just a way of getting it out there. I told everyone it didn't start out for that purpose, but it ended up for that purpose. So, and thank you, Pastor Rebecca, for speaking that word over me. You have no idea how much I needed that today. I wasn't even coming this morning. I looked at the thing. I was like, I ain't doing it today. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to stay quiet. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go listen. I'm going to go listen because, you know, every time I get up here, I can't seem to shut my mouth. So,
that's good.
I'm going to keep. And you called me right out. I was like, Lord, have mercy. All right, Lord, I hear you. Every time
that's
I think
right.
I got it set, he goes and gives me some other plans.
Amen. Well, we just have to be obedient to the Lord and do what he tells us to do. And I'm learning that, you know, and it's more important for me with what's going on in the church. It's more important for me to be obedient to God, because there are, listen, we have to stand up and show people that our God is real, that our God is God, that our God is able, that our God does not fail, and he is able to take a mess and just make a total miracle out of it. And if we don't stand up, then the church and the world is going to believe what they see in the media. And it's just been a hot mess in the media. I'm not passing judgment, but what I'm saying is somebody has been sent grave sin, and they're sinning against the church of the Most High God, and whoever it is that's wrong in this case, and they need prayer, but it's not making a good impression for the church. And we, especially the prophets, see, prophets cannot shut their mouths. I will say as a prophet that this is a prime example of what God does not want us to do as Christians. And we just need to get closer to the fire. We need to get that fire in our bellies. We need to not be lukewarm. We need to be on fire for the Lord. We need to be walking with God. We need to be strengthening ourselves in our inner man. We need to be giving our hearts and our lives over to God and walking in the spirit, not in the flesh, so that we do not gratify the desires of the flesh. And we need to be a testament to the glory of God. We need to be vessels of glory, carry God's glory, let his glory fill this earth so people can know the power of our God and stop playing with God and make a mockery of his word and of the church, because his word does not fail. God does not fail. He is not God failing. This is people failing. And we need to just get it together. The church, we just need to get it together and stop playing with God. And that's the word from the Lord. Stop playing.
Yeah.
We don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. Our God, Jesus, saves to the utmost. So we just got to strengthen each other. So that's why we do what we do. That's why I'm here. I'm supposed to be at a conference. I was invited to go to a conference, but I got to do this radio broadcast because God has better for us. And if we play with God, it's like playing with fire. You're going to get burned. If you play with God, you're going to get burned. I'm sorry. You can't play with God. So this is serious. He's a loving God, but he's also God of judgment. And I feel for my brothers and my sisters who are caught up and feel like they can't get out, because you can get out. You can get out. You're not in captivity. Jesus opened the gates of the prison. The prison gates have been opened, and you got to know you're free from sin. So that's my heart. So we're going to keep talking if we don't get off. So we're going to go, and I thank God for all of you. I love all of you. I'm a real preacher. I'm a real woman of God, and I know that I'm on the line with real women of God, and I just am blessed to be in your company with all of you. And I just want to encourage you, women of God, all of you, Gazelle, Erica, Misty, and anybody else who's listening, you can be what God says you can be. It's not hype. It's not just rhetoric. You can have what God says you can have. You can live the Zoe life that Jesus came and lived and died and was buried and got up for you to have. The same power that rose Jesus up from the grave resides on the inside of you, and there is nothing that you cannot do through Christ Jesus, who resides on the inside. The spirit of Christ, the very spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ resides on the inside of you. Don't let nobody, don't let the media, don't let nothing, don't be discouraged, don't be distracted, don't be dismayed, don't get distressed or depressed about what you're seeing in the news. Nothing is greater than the power that resides on the inside of you. Greater is the power in you than the power that is in this world. And we win. With Jesus, we win. And the people who are falling in this scandal, they have chosen to fall. I'm not talking about victims. If there were victims of molestation, they are truly victims. But if they're lying, they have chosen to fall. If Bishop Long is lying and he is a molester, he has chosen to fall because he knows the power of the glory of God. The truth will come out. The truth will come out. It will come out. And so it's not our place to sit and judge, but we have to pray. Pray.
Yeah.
Pray. Because our prayers will not fail. The prayers of the righteous avail of much. And that's my commentary on that. I'm brokenhearted because it's the body of Christ. But I'm praying. And I'm praying for those who are weak to be made strong. Amen. And that's what our Bible tells us to do, to pray for those who are weak to be made strong. But no, don't ignore the facts, okay? When they do come out, know that somebody has fallen and that they're going to have to repent and pray for God to pick them up again. And God is able to do that. Amen. So and we don't rejoice. We don't rejoice in people falling. We pray and we bear the infirmities of our weaker brothers and our weaker sisters. So be prayerful and look, let it not be said amongst us. We're not going out like that. I'm sorry. This just makes us be more on our guard to say, look, God, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My money can't keep me. Houses, cars, jewelry, riches, people approving of me, people's applause cannot keep me. Only Jesus Christ can keep me. Because he's the one who saved me and healed me and delivered me. He's the one who healed my broken heart. Cleave to Jesus. Cleave to God because he is our life. Amen. So I love you, ladies. I love you. I truly love you. Amen. Pray for me. As I pray for you, pray that I won't fall, and I will pray that you won't fall. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So So we'll see you Thursday on Misty's broadcast right here on blogtalkradio.com/inspireforchange. blogtalkradio.com/inspireforchange. I love you. God bless you. God bless you, all of our listeners. Amen. Hallelujah. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
You're listening to The Sound.
I just want to tell the truth. I just want to tell the truth. I just want to tell the truth.